From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo 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 yo.
I'm DJ Envy,
and I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
And currently, we are on vacation.
Man, totally disconnected.
Yes,
we're not even really here. You think you're listening to us, but we're not.
Well, we are not. We're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to be playing some of our top interviews and some throwbacks. So, keep it locked. Red is going to be running the boards. And we'll see y'all in the new year. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Y'all, hey y'all, I got an update for y'all, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Trav.
Now, what up, Trav?
If you haven't heard, yesterday Trav called in and was mad at Rolling Ray and was given receipts about the fact that he gave Rolling Ray some money for some drops, and Rolling Ray rolled out on him and didn't do any drops. But now I hear there's an update, Trav.
Yes, there is an update. Rolling Ray sent me my money back yesterday.
Really?
Yes, he did, but I'm still beefing with him because it's how he sent my money back.
How he sent the money back?
This man gonna tell me, tell us something. Dang, since you need it so bad here.
That's right. Drop one of Clues Bond for Rolling Ray. Okay, I'm glad Rolling Ray shared you some grace. I'm glad Rolling Ray gave you some grace and decided to spare you, you little peasant, since you need it so bad. You know, let me take you a little $75 for the new year.
So I low-key, like, I said, bro, that's my money. Like, you need to give me my money. He's going to say, you need to stop talking like that. You need to stop talking like that, or I'm not going to help you out. Like, sir, you're not helping me.
Hey, that's a great tactic, you know.
That's
because
funny.
He can shame you into saying, I don't need this money, keep it. And then he won.
Trav.
Well, I just want to say, I am happy because, listen, I say all the time, I don't be pretending I got money out here. $75 helps me a lot, okay? So
I don't know why Rolling Ray is giving you peasant's grace.
Trav.
You saw her. Do not. Bye.
Trav. Obviously, Rolling Ray listens in the morning. That's probably why you got your money back. Would you like to say something to Rolling Ray?
Rolling Ray, you better have gave my money back. It took 2 years. I'm not playing with you.
All right. Well, if you really need it, there's your money back.
Thank you. Envy, you owe me something, too. But
that Rolling Ray is the type of royalty that can show mercy to the peasants in his kingdom.
Okay? Hello, who's this?
Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee, good morning.
Good morning. I was just wondering, how long does it take when you're in a relationship to want to get engaged, especially if that's something a woman wants?
You need to stop asking personal questions. That's what you need to stop doing, okay?
Stop asking personal questions.
I'm sorry. That triggered me a little bit.
Goodness gracious.
I tell you why it triggered me a little bit, because I've been with my wife for 24 years. So we've been together since the 1900s and 90s, but I didn't propose to her until 2013.
Oh, wow.
Don't you wow nothing.
That's a lot.
That's a long time. That's a very long time. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been with your man or woman?
9 years.
9 years. Is it serious? Y'all live in the same house? Or
man, what kind of stupid question is that? They've been together 9 years and you gonna ask if she's serious?
No, because it might not be serious.
We're in the same house, in the same bed.
Nah, you gotta make sure it's serious, because it could be, you know, because you could be with somebody for 9 years, but it's not serious. Maybe it's long distance.
Man,
but
please.
The fact that they're living with each other and that y'all in the same bed, y'all paying half a rent. I mean, I think it's about time. Now, I mean, if I was in your situation and I wanted to be, you know, engaged and get married, and he's basically just, you know, just there because he's comfortable, I would withhold the poo-poo.
Man, shut up, man. I don't like what you're saying here.
Well, you say close them legs.
I would close them legs. I mean, you want to get married, and right now he's just, you know, he's just doing what he got to do, and he's comfortable. He's knocking it off. He's getting everything as a married couple, but he's just not married. Think about it like this.
Age is very important. Shut up, you big cheek fool. How old are you, ma'am?
I'm 28. We've been together since I was 19.
See what I'm saying? They've been together since they was young. Give that man a little bit more time.
How much more time does he need? They've been together nine years.
It took me 15 years.
They sleep 15 years?
I mean, but he's pushing a baby, and I'm not having a baby without being married.
See? And he wants a baby? That's right. You close them legs, mama.
I don't think you should close your legs. You should tell him you want to be married. Because he may not know you want to be married. Have you told him that before?
He knows.
He knows.
How does he know if you haven't told him? Tell me how he knows.
I'm very vocal about it.
Oh, okay.
So, right. You've been very vocal. You told him you want to get married. He wants a child. He wants a baby. I'm sure y'all stay together. You wash his clothes. You cook for him. And sometimes, hey, he's just comfortable. But you close them legs, he going to be uncomfortable.
I will say I don't like what Envy is saying, but I understand what he's saying. You know, at this point, you know, he's leasing. But, you know, there should be an option to buy. So you have to tell him, you know, after a while, you can't just continue to lease this. You're either going to purchase or nothing.
So would that have worked for you if your wife did it?
Ooh.
Yeah.
See?
See? 100%.
Okay, I'm just making sure before, you know, I go put this thing on lock.
That's right. You put a little lock on it.
100%.
See, it can only be opened up with a ring.
Okay.
And because there's other things too, right? Like, you know, we had a child. So, you know, when you got your daughter asking, like, why y'all don't have the last name, at some point as a man, you're like, why don't we? Like, what am I waiting on? Like, what's the problem here? You know? So, yeah. He needs to get it together.
Like, you're married without being married. Why do that?
That's right. He needs to get it together. Like, yes, marriage is a beautiful thing.
Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how's it going, man? This is Trey. So, man, it's kind of a personal question in a sense. It's kind of regarding towards my daughter. You know, we recently just got cut from a softball team out here in Conroe. And, you know, honestly, I feel like it's personal. Maybe you guys can tell me I'm right or wrong. You know, it's a new softball team, and so I feel that I've been asking questions about where's the money going and how things have gotten spent. And, you know, I'm just asking certain questions that I feel like the head organization isn't liking. Statistically, my daughter's the third best player on the team, and yet we just recently got cut. And not only that, they did it insensitive right before our team. So it's like, you know, hey, do we still attend? Like, what do I do for my daughter?
Damn.
How does she feel about it?
So you're telling us your daughter got cut, you're thinking, because you were asking too many questions.
Sir?
And because of your questions, you got your daughter cut, you believe?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you sure about that, or is your daughter just not good?
Nah, bro. She, man, she's hitting us to the fence. She's 9 years old, bro. She's just, you know, 5'3" at 9 years old.
Mm. And what kind of questions were you asking?
Where the money goes?
Do you think that I got my daughter cut? Was it a personal issue? I mean, do you think that, you know, I should have just fell in line and been like a sheep? You know, I feel like that's what it is, that they don't want nobody to go against the grain. And, you know, it's not like I was pressuring them about the questions. I was just like, hey, you know, as a monthly courtesy, you know, we would like to see, as parents and a coach, where's the money going? You paying for fields? You're paying for equipment? Like, just what's going on? Not that I'm saying they pocketing the money, but I'm just saying I'm not trying to fund my team and their team, and I think that's what's going on.
So well, I'm trying to figure out, how can they cut your daughter if you've been paying for it?
They're the head organization. Like, they're in charge of the team.
So he was asking the questions, Charlamagne. They're saying, let's say, it's a monthly stipend, So he was asking the questions before his daughter made the team, and he was asking...
No, we had already been on the team.
Oh, so this is the new year.
And I'm a coach. I'm a coach and staff. We're on the team. We've been on the team since the very beginning.
Let me tell you something, my daughter is a competitive cheerleader. And, you know, like you said, we pay for these things. So I reserve the right to talk to the coaches about any and everything I want to.
Absolutely.
Okay? I don't give a damn. I will talk to them. I will tell them things I don't like. If my daughter has complaints, me and my wife will go talk to the coaches. We got a meeting scheduled with the coach soon. One of the coaches soon, by the way. So I don't see nothing wrong with what you did, sir.
No, I don't see nothing wrong with what you did either. You have the right, like Charlamagne said, you pay, so you have the right to ask questions. Now, the fact that they cut your daughter, it does seem like it's they really don't want you there because you're asking questions, meaning possibly they're doing something wrong with the money and they don't want it out there. But the great thing about softball and baseball and these sports, there's other teams. So I would look to put my daughter on another team and then bust that team's ass. I've had that happen with me before. I'm serious. My son, when Logan was growing up, my town team at the time, Kinnelon, I didn't like the way they were treating Logan. So I put him on another team in Newark, Brick City. Shot the Brick City Lions. And Brick City Lions, he did his damn thing. And I was waiting for us to play Kinnelon again and bust his ass. And ever since Logan left Kinnelon, that school, that football team has been horrible. So, you know, Ephraim, sometimes you got to leave, go to another school, and do what you got to do.
I agree. I respect that answer, you know. And honestly, you know, I had a meeting with the coach. And on top of that, the head coach is a 19-year-old little girl. And I say little girl because she's 19. You know what I mean? And she's never coached a team before. And I'm like, man, you got grown folks on this team, man. And
take
what's
to
really
another
going
team,
on?
Bro.
Yeah, and no, man, going, God is good, man. And ever since everything, man, I've been hoping and I've been praying, man. And some things have kind of come through last night, man. I got a really good phone call. I just didn't know. Maybe I read into too much. You know what I'm saying? I'm the kind of guy that, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. So it's like, is it just me or what's really going on?
Take it to another team. F them.
And God is great. Chick-fil-A is good. God is great. And personally, I would have been asking the coach why my daughter got cut. You got to explain to me why my daughter got cut.
And that's right, too. You asked that question as well. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what He says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Icewear Vezo.
What it do, brother? How you feeling?
Man, you look good, brother. You got a whole lot of new money.
You heard? I'm trying, man. I just look like it. That's all.
How you feeling, though?
Man, I'm feeling good, bro. I'm blessed. Everything well. Kids right. Good. Old lady good. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just taking it one day at a time, brother.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you're up here because since you signed with Quality Control, I'm like, we got to get Vezo back on the show.
Yeah, so. I appreciate that, too.
Clearly, it was a very lucrative deal.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We actually did a partnership 50-50.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why, you know, I appreciate that situation. I appreciate P for, like, you know, letting me approach it as a young boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In the making, and just, you know, teaching me the business and showing me how everything works and allowing me that opportunity to grow my company as well. So we did a 50-50 partnership, you know.
I did convince you to partner with QC. What was that conversation like?
I convinced myself, honestly, you know, me and P been building for probably like a year and a half straight without talking, no business, none of that. You know, we just been vibing and moving around and growing to understand each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, and learning each other mentally, you know what I mean? And I just like how bro rock. I like how he operate. I like how he think. And, you know, he ain't no selfish dude. Like, he won't He want youngins to really, you know, get everything out of that. You know, it's bigger than just being an artist. You know, P gonna show you how to really, really turn up and think for the long run and not just like a rapper at that moment, you know. So I felt like it was a perfect situation for me, which it was to me.
And I think I saw somewhere that you said Takeoff was the first person to embrace you as an independent artist.
Literally, man. Takeoff back in like 2015. Takeoff came to my restaurant. I had bought a restaurant when I was a kid and a car wash and dispensary. Takeoff was in Detroit. He DM'd me like, bro, I'm in your city. Let's link, tap in. He pulled up at the restaurant, bro, and he gave me a lot of game, like a lot of motivation. I was fighting a Fed case at the time, and he told me, like, bro, like, just seeing everything you got going on and how you moving and just knowing how young you is right now, you know, like, bro, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be big, bro. Stick to the music. You're going to be something when you get out.
Wow.
You know, promote my music and posting my music, gave me a verse, all that. Like, he was the first ever.
Wow.
In real life. Yeah, first.
And it came back full circle. So I'm sure when you connected with QC, I'm sure he was one of the first people to congratulate you.
Absolutely. He definitely was. Even before we like locked the deal down, he kind of heard about it. He like, bro, that's a good move, bro. I'm proud of you. You know what I mean? Keep doing your thing. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation, like, with Tate, because bro really a solid dude. And, you know, people say that every time somebody passed, you know, but, like, he genuinely was that. He was a good brother, like a real good guy. He had his head on his shoulders. And one thing about Takeoff, he never tried to be somebody or something that he wasn't. He was always himself, from my understanding, you know, from how I knew him and how I met him, you know what I mean? So, rest in peace, Takeoff.
Do black men ever truly escape, man?
Honestly, to an extent, yeah. But for the most part, right now, it don't seem like it don't seem like, you know, we living in a time where everybody got something to prove. You know, everybody worried about what the next person think about them. And right now, to me, I think the black man's biggest downfall is their pride. It's the pride. Pride is our number one downfall. You know, we let our pride get in the way. And every time I ever use my pride, I fail right after that. You know, I learned that the hard way. So, you know, with the pride and the ego and throw the money into play, it's too much, bro. And I don't think we giving ourselves the chance to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, we not letting ourselves elevate because we too focused on worldly things. You know, I just recently learned that men's number one cause of depression is environmental stress. Literally, that's the number one cause, environmental stress. Meaning everything that we around and everything that we surround ourselves around. You know, so until we able to kind of evaluate who and what we got around us and change our environment, we not gonna allow ourselves to grow.
How do you think having your wife has actually helped you through so many different things, though? Having a great partner, I think, is one of the most supportive things that you can have.
Absolutely. My wife played a real, like, the biggest part in my life. You know, women mature faster than us. And there's so many times where I thought, like, foolishly and childishly, and she checked me. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife is, like, my backbone. She is that same part that at times I don't have, you know. And I know when I got married, God blessed me in a different way, you know, because it gave me some type of foundation to fall back on and something to stand on. Like, you know, I say this all the time, like, the best attribute a woman got is their intuition. That's that other sense. Like, a woman's intuition is unbelievable. You know, anytime my wife ever told me something, she ain't never been wrong. And I learned the hard way to not ignore her, to not ignore her feelings, to not ignore her thoughts and you know, and her views on pretty much everything, you know. So without my wife, I don't know where I'd be at, and I genuinely mean that. Like, she stood tall for me a million times.
And don't it feel good, speaking on that intuition, don't it feel good when she know you solid, when she know you doing what you supposed to be doing? Because they know when we doing the bullshit.
Yeah, do.
But when we get our shit together, they know that too. That feels so good.
It feel amazing. She know me, sometimes I feel like she know me more than I know myself.
All right,
we got more with Ice with Vezza when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Icewear Vezo. Charlamagne?
I also read that you manifested the QC deal while you was in prison.
I did. I told that to, we was in the TV room. I told that to my little homie Rello, Free Rello. He about to come on in a minute. And we was watching the BET Awards. And I told him, like, bro, you know what? When I get out, I'm signing with QC. Mm-hmm. I like how Buddy move. I like how they rock. If on the out looking in, it felt like he let the artists do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And he rock. They come up with a plan, and he get behind that plan for them. I manifested everything in my life. I manifested my wife. I told her mom when I was 14, I'm gonna marry her daughter. We gonna get. Real talk. I told my wife mom that. Listen, I'm gonna marry your daughter. I'm gonna become a millionaire. I'm gonna buy her a home, and we gonna have children. And I did every last one of them.
Wow.
I married her, bought her a home, and I had kids by her.
Does her mom remember that?
She remember that.
You like, wow. A psych.
She talk
too.
About it all the time. It ain't even a psych. It's just I'm big on manifestation. Right. I know how serious it is, how real it is. Like I literally do vision boards. Like I believe in this stuff. Like it's real. Like it really works. You know, you really gotta vision what it is you want, and you can get it. It work like that. You know, you gotta be a good person at the end of the day too. You know, you gotta do the right thing. You gotta treat people right. You gotta conduct yourself right, you know, and properly. But you heard that the vision board, that's real. I really manifest everything I did.
I tell you this all the time, man. These conversations coming from you are so important. The loving your wife, you know what I mean? Letting people know your wife is your backbone. The manifestation conversations. Me and you have conversations about mental health and how important it is to keep your mental health together. Sure. Like, you got to keep having those conversations, man.
And being an entrepreneur. I think that's important, too. Being you know, having run your own businesses.
Yeah.
I think encouraging people to do that.
No doubt. Yeah, I think that's important. I want a lot of more black men to talk more about mental health, and, you know, and it bro, it's not I'm from the street, bro. I'm a street guy, ex-street guy. I have no problem with, you know, speaking on mental health and, you know, manifestation. This work, it's not lame, bro. It's cool, y'all can do that. You know, be yourself. Like, this stuff really work. You know, you want to be successful, you want to be healthy, have some type of longevity at whatever it is you do, change some of them ways and read and get some knowledge. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I think somewhere down the line we made being smart uncool or something. Right up. You know, I really feel like that. Yeah. Like a lame if he got some type of sense. And that ain't the case. You know what I'm saying? That ain't how it go. Like, the real street guys is the one who try to do everything in the world to get away from being like that. Mm-hmm. You know the guys that ain't really street, you know, they do everything in the world to try to be like that. Mm-hmm. They kind of got it backwards. You know, it's just a little off. You know, and as an artist and a rapper, I feel like it's part of my responsibility, you know what I'm saying, to be 100 and let people know how I'm really coming mentally, how I think, how I operate, whatever. And they can judge me however they want to. You know, they don't know me, and there go that part where, you know, it's not my job to care what somebody else think about me either. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think that's important for every artist to do that. And I know for a fact, majority of successful people and successful artists, not saying that I'm successful, I'm just saying, just period, like, everybody got some type of sense. You know, everybody, anybody with some type of longevity, they got some sense.
That's right.
You know, and it's okay to promote that. You know, we got to push that off. We got to create a whole new agenda, man. We got to save our people, for real.
It starts with accountability, though.
Absolutely.
That's why my favorite question to ask brothers nowadays, let's say, hey, man, what the hate more, reading or accountability?
Accountability. Without a doubt. I'm guilty of it at times.
Yeah, all of us are. Icewear Vezo with the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum large size condoms.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we're playing a game. It's the How Comfortable Am I game. Now, this is how this works.
Now, hold on. Let's not take credit for this. I gave Donkey of the Day to a teacher in Hernando County, Florida.
Right.
She got fired
because of this how uncomfortable am I test. This is her test.
Right.
This is her questionnaire.
Right.
So we want to ask our listeners some of these questions.
Okay. Let's go to the phone line. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. It's Kelly from the 814.
Kelly from the 814, Kelly.
Good morning, Kelly.
Wait, Charlotte. It's Kelly with the three dogs.
Oh, Kelly with the three dogs that called the other day.
Oh, hey, Kelly with the three dogs.
So ask Kelly a question.
So, Kelly, listen.
All right, I'm ready.
This is the how comfortable am I test. You can answer not comfortable at all, uneasy, fairly comfortable, completely comfortable.
You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Your dentist is HIV positive.
Ooh.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. That's not comfortable at all. Okay. Your next door neighbors are gay and lesbian.
Are gay and what?
Gay lesbians.
Oh, I'm comfortable. They do what they want to do.
Okay, that's good. A Native American student invites you to a powwow.
Comfortable because I'm Indian.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, thank you for calling.
Congratulations. You're not prejudiced, I don't think. I don't know.
Hello, who's this?
What is, that's the other thing. What is, how do you pass this test?
What's your name, mama?
Jersey.
Hey, Jersey.
Hey.
How are you, baby?
I'm good.
Your grandmother's in the hospital, and when the doctor walks in, the doctor's a midget. Comfortable or uncomfortable, uneasy or fairly comfortable?
Comfortable. Why wouldn't I be? He's just a midget.
Now, come on now.
Okay.
What if you got a problem on your neck? I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure that he has a stool in there. He's a doctor. He had to come in there prepared.
That's true. You're right.
Now, you're on a plane. You're in the middle seat. The woman sitting next to you on the plane weighs 300 pounds. Not comfortable, uneasy, fairly comfortable, or completely comfortable?
Is there somebody on the other side of me?
Yep.
I'm probably going to be uncomfortable. Them plane seats
kind of
small.
Listen, planes are not made for fat people. God bless them. But, hey, all of us have been in that situation where we've been sitting in that seat and seeing a fat person on a plane. I was like, please, Lord, no. Please, Jesus, no.
Now, your last one. Your dentist is HIV positive.
Oh, I'm completely uncomfortable. I'm not even. Yeah, no. If I know, I'm not going to that dentist anymore.
Hey, at least you're honest.
All right.
I have no problem with the honesty.
Okay. Thank you, Mama. All right. The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, and she's moving ish around here. That's right.
Yeah. Charlamagne always has his book behind everybody.
That's
that
right.
Changes today.
That's right.
That big kid. Look at that.
Jennifer Lewis, welcome back.
My joy.
She fine too.
That in these streets.
That looks like a White House photo.
I better order it. If I don't get on the New York Times bestseller, everybody goes down and auntie is over.
Well, welcome. How are you doing? How you feeling?
Yeah, how you feeling?
Guys, come on.
Stressful time, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm happy as a lark. I wrote this book during COVID. I had to get it out of me. There's not a person in the world that did not contemplate their death.
Ooh, you're right.
And I told my family, I said, if anything happens to me, because I'm 65 now, you get that book out.
You're not no 65.
Yes, I am. Fine,
you
and then I find
ain't 65.
Pretty bitch. I'm so pretty, I can't see straight. I get up every morning. The kids love this. I brush my teeth, spit it out, look in the mirror. And I say, pretty bitch. Then I start my day.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
You can't be touched when you start off good.
That's right.
Can't get nothing get on you.
That's right.
That's love.
It's hard though, I mean, in this world, because I feel like the world is just going to on so many levels.
No, it isn't. It's okay to be scared right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you must be unafraid.
Mm.
Stand the up now. Are we in trouble? Yes. Are they trying to take democracy itself? Yes. But evil will not win out.
Mm.
Love is the glue that holds us together. So start loving, why don't you? Before you go in any room, you see how I came in here?
You came in cussing.
Sure did. That's a lie. Everybody know I don't cuss. You, Charlamagne. The rat bastard.
I think the quote was, how you mother doing?
How you mother
I think that's how the intro was.
Get that, yeah. So
I want to know why you decided to write the book. During COVID, so much going on, what made you say, I want to put it all out there?
Well, that's what I do. Whether I'm writing a book or not, I put it all out there. I'll give you one teaser. I fainted at the,
White House. Mm-hmm.
And woke up the medical Marines, the White House doctor. I woke up, I went, go take care of Obama, motherfucker. All I did was faint. What is this happening to Obama? Baby, they gave me 3 Christmas cookies and some water. You know, to revive me, a little sugar.
Your sugar, yeah, yeah.
I said, now, ain't this the White House? I know goddamn well Michelle got some chicken in that goddamn. I said, y'all go get me some chicken. Baby, they said, I heard, saw somebody whisper. They were saying, get this bitch out of here. They put me in a wheelchair like in the hospital. Rolled me out the front gate and dumped my ass out of there.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said, get that bitch out of here.
No.
No, they loved me up. You know they loved me up. They loved me up there. Everybody was so concerned. I forgot to eat. I was so excited to meet the president and first lady. Come, I'd met them before, maybe 2 or 3 times, but I met Barack when he was a senator. Mm-hmm. Oprah had a fundraiser for him. Stevie Wonder sang. It was beautiful. That bitch had so much land. I was like, gone, Oprah.
Did Obama check on you afterwards?
Hell no. He gone on upstairs with Michelle.
Not an email later or nothing? Phone call?
No, he probably never told him that a crazy bitch was in the White House. Oh, my God. But you know what I learned from Obama that day? When he spoke, I never heard a word he said. I only saw his compassion for the families of the victims that had been shot in the church.
The man you hear me.
And I have been a real big activist since Trump was elected.
You feel, because you see what's missing. Like, you know, you, even if you don't agree with everything that Obama did policy wise, that compassion
and
that
the
empathy.
Other thing, he led with love.
Yes.
That's why Trump can't with him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. You leading with hate, he's leading with love. You don't win. You cannot destroy love. You can't match it. The only thing that matches love is love.
I agree with you, but how do you explain white supremacy? Because that's been leading with hate since the day we got here.
Y'all don't want to start me.
Yes,
start
we do.
That January 6th, they looked like roaches climbing those walls. Mm-hmm. How dare you, you motherfuckers. We built this building. See, they went on tour the day before to see where they were going to get in. And whoever took them around forgot to tell them those windows are not the same qualities as the ones in your trailer. One little girl got tear gas in her eyes and somebody interviewed her. Well, what's going on? She said, "They, little Karen, they tear gassed me." And he said, "Well, who are you?" "My name is Sylvia Williams." And then they went on and they got her address. She gave them her address. That dumb bitch. She was just, you know, she was being interviewed and she was distressed. You dumb bitch. She's in jail. She got 8 years.
Damn.
You know, here's the other thing. All I could vision was a few of them having stopped at an ice cream store and stood there and couldn't decide amongst the 150 flavors. Where you just get back to vanilla, you dumb bastard. But as they licked, they ate ice cream on their way there. The privilege. That made me sick.
And people reacted like it was just a bunch of kids having fun at spring break.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Those Republican senators are all sociopaths. You know what I know? Trump with his mafia ass. Soon as he got in, he got all the dish on all those senators. I can't go with him.
Yeah, he not going
he'll,
to
he'll show them with little boys and hookers. They got pictures. So they can't even be human no more. They're just scared.
What do you think about the new president and vice president?
Biden has experience. It's a shame he's the age he is. Kamala, bad bitch. I'm sorry. And he's good. And I bet you any amount of money, he calls up Obama every morning. Poor bastard. Barack, please. Barack, please. How the did you do this? For 8 years. Jesus Christ. Do I bomb a country now? What, should I shoot them? Should I shoot them down from the walls? Dumb bastard. I got to tell y'all, I don't hate nobody. But that was some nasty shit. But let me tell you another thing. History does repeat itself. I thought we had evolved beyond that. We just got the sound of a black hole. We have close-ups of Jupiter. Put a man on the moon, and all we can do is destroy Earth.
That's right.
You see, I just got back from Antarctica. Y'all know I travel. The captain of the ship showed me the waterline. And he said to me, "Miss Lewis, I know you're a celebrity, but my crew tells me you're an activist." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I would ask that you go back to your country and tell whoever will listen, we're in trouble. The Arctic is melting at the light of speed. Y'all, we need the polars to orbit. And these bastards don't want to believe in science." Dumb Trump. I'm sorry, I don't even want to say his name. What do you think built your buildings, you dumb bitch? That's science.
All right, we got more with Jennifer Lewis. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. "Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if..." No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
"She looked like a million bucks."
...with zero qualifications...
"She had a Harvard plaque."
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
"She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway."
"Is it like a mansion?"
"Yes, it's a mansion." ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
"About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
"She would probably have sex with one of her clients."
"Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl."
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jennifer Lewis. Charlamagne?
Let's get back to the book and everything. Well, first of all, congratulations to you for the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Hey! I got a claim.
Watch this.
I'm getting my star on the Hollywood Walk.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hey. Oh, God, I wrote a song.
How did it feel?
Let me tell you, y'all. Anybody can be famous now. All you got to do is somebody. But I studied. Okay? I studied Shakespeare.
There you go.
Feldenkrais with Uta Hagen. I am trained. Mm-hmm. That's why I speak with distinction. I used to say nookle for a nickel.
Oh, I thought you were saying nigga.
Give me a knuckle. That's how we talk back home. We talk like that. Well, until I got to college, I found out it was nickel.
Can you believe it when you got it? When you got it, did it feel surreal?
I told the audience that day, it was not the work I did on camera and stage. It was the work I did off. I went and got help. Damn near everybody in show business is bipolar, but they don't know it because they got in it to hide that mania so they wouldn't be different out there in the normal world.
That's right.
I hesitated to take medication because I didn't want it to take my edge. It didn't. I stayed in. Literally had to be re-raised. My mama didn't have time to take care of me. There was no affection. I was her seventh child, and she was 26. The hell she gonna do with seven babies?
Sure.
Scrubbing white people's floors. But what she did give me was work ethics. She stopped scrubbing white people's floors, and she went and got her certificate and became a nurse's aide. She said, I'll be damned if those white people come to my house to check it out so I can get a welfare check. Mm. You remember they used to come in there, make sure the father wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
See, if the daddy was home, you didn't get welfare. If they came in there and saw you had nice stuff, that was reported. Here's a story you don't know. I'm about, how old am I?
35.
I'm 65 now, but I'm trying to tell a story.
Oh.
I was 7 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
White man came to my mama's house to check on it so she couldn't get a welfare check. Comes right to the front door. Doesn't come all the way in yet. He peered in and saw an upright piano that a white family had given my mother. And he said these words, where you get that piano, nigga? I stand there with my thumb in my mouth thinking, no, you the nigga this morning, cause you going down. I knew that motherfucking time. My mother went to the back, came back with the bucket we used to use to pee in, and cause we had an outhouse. But we would pee in a bucket. But if you had to poop, you had to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
My mother came back with that bucket of piss and threw it all over.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, you won't say that no more.
That's right.
Not to her.
That's right.
My mother was a gangster. Alpha. She fed us. Did whatever she had to do. The pipes would break in that cold St. Louis weather. We would ice skate on the kitchen floor. Run around. You know, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. That had to empower you as a child to see your mom stand up to that white man like that.
She got a job.
Mm-hmm.
We were off welfare. She said, these motherfuckers will not tell me what to do with my life and my children. My mother didn't play. She taught me work ethics. That's why I'm still here. That's why I have sustained in show business, you see. Not even me can stop me. I was given a gift.
That's right.
And I honored it. Stayed alive. Stayed healthy. Look at me now. God damn it.
I'm 35 years young.
Yeah. Hey, tell me that hit. Hit a high note for my...
Y'all don't know. Walking in my joy.
Who has the audacity to write a book called Walking in My Joy?
How does somebody walk in their joy?
We only have 5 minutes because she has to go. But I'm
that I don't give a about the other interview. I'm staying here because I know I'm talking to a lot of black kids.
There you go.
That's right.
Take the question again.
How does somebody walk in their joy?
Live on purpose. It's called life. Look what we have, the planet. Oh, God, y'all, I've been all over the world. It's so beautiful. I just got back from the Himalayan mountain range. I saw Everest. Took a helicopter. I saw the base camp, you know, where they start to climb the summit. We saw a few of them going up. Y'all know I wanted to climb that mountain when I was 13. And there I was looking at Everest, the little poor girl from Kenlock, Missouri. I went to the Taj Mahal. There I was. I went to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. I went to the Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi and Petra in Jordan. All cultural treasures of the world. We shouldn't destroy this. Human beings have got to be nicer. Live on purpose, y'all. Do your homework. Do the work. Write it down. What you want to do today? How can I be nice today? I told you last time, you got to be happy on your way to happy. Don't think you're going to get there. And then I'm happy. Oh, look what I got. No, you're the same piece of shit you were when you started.
That's right. If anything, it makes it worse.
Absolutely.
And what gives you that joy? What gives you the most joy? Is it acting? Is it activism? Or is it traveling? Or is it something that you haven't mentioned?
What's more exciting to me right now than anything is that I can look at you all and know that the only thing I can do for you is live my best life. Yes, look at me. I take care of myself. You think this is easy? I'm in Pilates. I'm in yoga. I eat as well as I can. Stop eating all that fried chicken. Get so sick of seeing my fellow sisters walking down the street and they can't even get around. What, are you going to die and leave your children here for somebody to molest? Keep your ass healthy. Come out of them dark rooms with all that depression. Stop yourself. You go get some help. But you can start by journaling. What do I want? Who am I? And if you don't know, make some shit up.
When did you first start going to therapy?
Well, I was 33 years old.
Okay.
I spent half my life depressed and manic as hell.
Did you know it was depression?
Absolutely not. It was normal.
That's right.
I cried every night of my life. Well, there were some nights I had sex and that was all right. I didn't cry that night. I was like, Merry Christmas. Hey,
you ever cried over some bad sex? Like, ugh.
Bad sex? Like, I wish the f*** he would. Not as I was... No, I was in my 20s then. You get it up but get stabbed. I wish a bitch...
Get up
I wish a bitch would bring a limp in my house when we were that young. What? Nigga, please. Oh my God, I shouldn't do this. Y'all, they play the hell out of my views. I want to be honest. But you live on purpose.
Oh, man.
Rehearse it. Life is not a rehearsal, but practice living well. You can do it. You can. I did. I was poor. I had mental illness, had sex addiction, molested, all of it. But I wanted to live.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Jennifer Lewis. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jennifer Lewis. Charlamagne?
Did you really almost retire after Blackish?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go home. COVID was happening, and I wanted to go with people I loved. I didn't know if I was going to die. I'm still going back. I just signed a 6-year contract. or a show on Showtime. It's called I Love That For You.
Wow.
It stars Congrats. Molly Shannon and Vanessa Bayer, two Saturday Night Live alumni, and they are comedic giants.
A six-year contract?
You know, you do a show, you got to sign a six-year contract. And
well, congrats.
Thank you. I'm so happy. And the role I'm doing, guess what?
What?
They waited till I was 65 years old to make me a porn star. I'm f***ing in this show.
Well, that's why you still look good.
Yeah, it's cable. Star? You got to watch it.
What's your name?
Her name is Patricia Cochran.
Patricia Cochran?
Yes. I put that on it. Her name, when I got the script, her name was Patricia Conkin. So I asked the writers, I said, so you never know what they're going to do with the stories. So I said, was she married? They said, no. I said, well, what's this Conkin shit? There ain't no black people named Conkin. So I said, let her be Cochran and let her be Johnny Cochran's cousin. Bad bitch.
Okay.
She's a billionaire.
When does it come out?
It's out. There are 8 episodes on Showtime right now, and we're waiting to see if the show's going to be picked up.
Okay.
And I'm ready for it.
Wow.
This is a great role. It is, by the way, it's my best work.
Really? That's saying a lot.
Baby, I'm in that character. I walked into that character like a fitted glove. And I'm having the time of my life because the environment is so nice. You know, you can get on some toxic sets and then you can't create well. But I'm having the time of my life. Here it is. I'm doing 15 animations right now in 15 different voices.
Wow.
I got the new series, new book.
Wow.
Walking in my joy.
I'm on book tour now.
Yeah.
Cussing everybody out. Loving them. God, this woman stood up last night at Barnes & Noble. She told the saddest story. And then she said, it's my birthday. I said, damn, now I can help. Happy birthday. Sang my ass off.
I saw there's a picture in the book where you posted with a swollen face. But the caption, ain't no shame in my game. You said that's what too much stress looks like.
With a massager that I only put on my neck. All night. Woke up. I just was like, oh my God, what is this? I thought it was COVID. I thought, you know, some side effect from something or whatever. Anyway, I wanted y'all to see me like that so you can know I'm human. I get my heart broken. I f*** up. I walk in my joy, but I'll take a bitch down in my joy too. It ain't that much medication in the world, okay? The personality will break through.
What do you want readers to take away from Walking in My Joy?
Grow up. Be nice. Dream. And don't drop the ball. It is hard. Life's hard. Ain't nobody promised you a rose garden without thorns. Work your way through it. It's so much in that book, but it's mostly funny. Because after COVID, I knew the world had to laugh. When I was in Cambodia, everything was boarded up. My guide said on any given day, there were 7,000 tourists. There were 400 that day.
Wow.
Everybody's suffering the residue of COVID. So that's why you gotta be nice. People had family members. Many people died from this thing. I think it's 3 million something. Past. The world is mourning. Stop fighting. Be compassionate. Take care of one another. We all bleed. Didn't it teach us that if one of us sneezes, we're all sick? It went around the world. Somebody sneezed. They didn't know. So be nice. Keep saying that. Do something for somebody. I fed a lot of families during COVID. That's how I tithe.
Lead with love, live on purpose.
All right.
Jennifer Lewis, walking in my joy in these streets.
In these streets. I gotta get y'all high kick.
Hey.
No, you don't get one because you didn't ask.
You still can do it?
Yeah, we didn't say goodbye.
I don't know if you can still do it,
JL. You can't do it no more.
Come on now, you're 35
now.
You're a little older than last time.
But guess what?
What?
This time, I do have to warm it up. And let me show you how to get it up.
Okay.
You can't do this. And don't try to do it. I've been doing this since I was 19. I got trained by a hand dancer.
Yes, ma'am.
He told me to stand in a doorway and just let the, like a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be out there one day.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, that was homework. That's history.
Absolutely.
You don't stop. Keep training. Keep working out. Move your body. Walk around the block.
That's
try
right.
to eat right. I want my people to be healthy.
That's right. Why you got two eyeglasses?
I'm a crazy mom. I will lose some. I think my short memory's gone.
Mm.
That's okay.
Well,
I'm gonna go get, do whatever I got. Ooh, I need this water.
You've left
and drink water. Hydrate, please. Dumbass.
You left us a lot of memories. We love you, Miss Jennifer Lewis.
I love you.
Oh, I got that for you.
No, I'm showing it.
Oh, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love you more.
It's Jennifer Lewis. It's the Breakfast Club. Good boy.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hey, guys. Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, April 11th goes to United Airlines as a staff record label airline and mother effing crew. Okay, now let the record show. I fly JetBlue. I'm a proud Mosaic member. And when it comes to overbooking, JetBlue flyers don't have that problem because they don't overbook flights. I think overbooking flights is greedy. I think it's an inconvenience, and I wish it would stop. If it's 100 flights on a plane, sell 100 flights.
100 seats.
100 seats. What did I say?
100 flights.
I'm on drugs. If it's 100 seats on a plane, sell 100 seats. Okay? Don't do people like that. All right? People got places to go, people to see. I don't want to spend a few hundred dollars on a flight, and then when I get there, you telling me the flight is overbooked. It makes no sense, and it causes unnecessary problems, like the one we saw yesterday on a United Airlines flight headed from Chicago to Louisville. Now, the man, who has not yet been identified by name, of course, we all know what he looks like by now, he was forcibly removed because, according to a statement, the airline said four crew members needed to get to a flight departing from Louisville, otherwise it would be canceled. Now, passengers were asked to give up their seats voluntarily, and when no one volunteered, which is perfectly fine, because they don't have to, because they paid for their seats like everyone else, and they have places to go, and it's not their fault that airlines have this dumbass policy called overbooking. Now, when no one volunteered to give up the seat they paid for, the airline was forced into an involuntary deboarding situation. Never heard of that. Never heard of it until yesterday. But I now know that it translates into, okay, now get the hell off this plane or somebody getting their ass beat. Well, four passengers were selected to get their ass kicked, but for whatever reason, they decided to only make an example out of one. Some poor little Asian doctor who was minding his business and needed to get home to see his patients. When the man refused, as he had every right to do, United Airlines said it then followed U.S. Department of Transportation protocol and calling in local law enforcement to forcibly remove the man from the plane after he refused to leave. Would you like to hear how it sounded? Here you go.
Hey, come on. Come on.
Where was Kendall Jenner with the Pepsi to give to the local law enforcement to calm this situation down? Now, United CEO Oscar Munoz or Munez or whatever issued a statement, and I must say his statement sucked because Oscar put the blame on the victim. Oscar said that the guy became more and more disruptive and belligerent when asked to come off the aircraft. If I paid for my ticket and had somewhere to be, yes, I would be agitated, and there's nothing belligerent about that. Okay, I just don't want to get off this flight, and I don't understand why the hell you guys are bothering me. This is a classic example of someone being completely out of touch with regular everyday people, because I am positive that if the CEO of United, Oscar Munoz, or whatever his name was sitting on a flight, just say it wasn't a United flight, just sitting on a flight, and someone asked him to leave, he would get so-called disruptive and so-called belligerent too. I really wish we all would just remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated, okay? Human beings should simply give people the energy they want to receive. That same energy you want back, you should give the people.
For one, you have to see me when you come to the window, so you better have the same energy.
At all times, okay? You should only be forcibly removed when you have no business in a situation whatsoever, when you're trespassing. When someone is being forcibly removed, that means they did something wrong. They have no business being there. What did this guy do other than put money in United Airlines' pocket? He had every right to be there because he bought a ticket. And if he had somewhere to be and didn't want to leave, he had the right to get his Rosa Parks on and say, nah. And refused to leave his seat. Okay? Also, United Airlines, common sense. Why wouldn't you account for employee seats first? Isn't that who should be assigned seats before anyone else? I mean, that would only make sense. If this man chooses to ride on trash-ass United Airlines ever again, he should get free first-class flights and unlimited snacks for the rest of his life. And to think, all of this could be avoided if airlines simply stop overbooking flights. It's just an inconvenience to everybody. Airplane tickets are expensive. When I book a flight, that should guarantee me a seat, period. I gotta receive a busted lip and get dragged off a plane because United overbooked the flight and didn't have room for its employees? That's my fault? Please give United Airlines and its CEO, Oscar Munoz, the biggest hee-haw, please. I'm just saying.
Malay was saying that they had to, this alleged, that they had to fly the crew in to another city because there was an airliner there that didn't have a crew. And if the crew didn't make it to that city to fly that next airliner, instead of four people being upset, it'd be a plane of over 100 people being upset.
What so that that's, got to do with me?
That's why they had to fly the plane, the crew in, allegedly.
What does that have to do with me? What happened to the customer always being right? What does that have to do with me? I'm sitting on this plane minding my damn business. Okay? What does what's going on with United and its employees and what crew got to be where got to do with me?
And they said there's a stipulation when you buy your ticket that if they need the ticket back or they need that seat that they could possibly take it. That's what they say.
Never heard that stipulation in my life.
Me neither.
Never seen that in the fine print ever.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
about $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Everybody, it's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Charlamagne gave Donkey of the Day to United Airlines.
Yeah, United Airlines and its CEO, Oscar Munoz or whatever, for the way they treated that poor Asian doctor on that flight yesterday. And then Oscar, the CEO, had the nerve to victim blame and say that the guy was acting belligerent and disruptive. If I had bought me a ticket, right? First of all, this is why I hate overbooking on flights. I think overbooking is just stupid. If it's 100 seats, 100 seats is all that it should be.
Right.
But if you overbook the flight and now you need to get somebody else on the flight and I got somewhere to go and you're telling me that I have to get off the plane and I don't want to, why wouldn't I get a little disruptive?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't I get a little agitated? Why wouldn't my voice raise up a little bit? That's not being belligerent.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Christy from Milwaukee.
Hey, Christy from Milwaukee. Have you ever been kicked off a flight?
No, I have not. I've actually only taken a flight twice in my life.
Oh. Jesus Christ, you need to get out more, boo. That box ain't worth a trip. Ain't nobody flying you out.
No.
Damn, all you getting is local penis?
Hello, who's this?
This is Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy, have you ever been kicked off a flight?
I've never been kicked off a flight. Over the weekend, I booked the hotel room through Expedia and got to the hotel, and the hotel did not have my reservation. Already paid for, went to like 14 different hotels after that just to have to find something that wouldn't really accommodate us with one king size bed, and Expedia is on the phone like, oh well.
Wow.
You know?
So what happened? How'd it get resolved?
Well, after that, I ended up getting a hotel room somewhere else, paying for it, you know, like paying for a room twice, because I couldn't deal with Expedia at the moment. And then the next day, I ended up calling them. They did give me, like, the runaround through, like, four or five different people, but I got my money refunded, and what they did was they put, like, a $200 travel credit on my Expedia account as if I want to travel with them again. But, you know, hey, I guess you live and you learn, you know?
True. Okay. Listen, you can tell people who don't fly, because there's this dude on Twitter named Mickey Vicious. He put, United, dude should have been thrown off the plane. They were going to pay him to leave. They always pay you when they want you to volunteer to give up your seat, sir.
Hello, who's this?
They give you a voucher or something.
This is Gabriel.
Gabriel, you ever been kicked off a flight before?
Yes, I have.
What happened?
Being too fat?
Well, primarily, nah. Primarily because of my last name.
What's your last name? Muhammad?
Yonan.
What's that mean?
It's a Syrian last name.
Oh, got you.
So they just kicked you off the flight?
Well, yeah, because they said they didn't properly check me, so they removed me from the plane, made me take all my clothes off, you know, check my belt buckle, everything like that, because, you know, my last name was foreign.
Now, when was this? Was this Bush era, Obama era, or Trump era?
Oh, this was Obama era.
Okay. Wow. What airline?
Yeah. This was Southwest, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and they they pretty much, their whole thing was, you know, well, we got to make sure that all of our passengers are safe, this, that, and the other. But here's what I want to say about that, because, you know, I'm an American. I was born an American. I don't care what my last name was. I paid for my flight. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I really felt violated at that point, you know?
Yeah, I would have got off that plane, and I would have sued the ish out of them.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. You deserve better in life than Southwest, okay?
Yeah,
Southwest ain't nothing but a big-ass bus in the sky.
Yeah, you should have got on Southwest.
I do not like Southwest. Yeah. Listen, I ain't no bougie individual at all, but I don't want to get on no plane where you can just pick your own seat. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't like Southwest.
The first time we went to Charlotte, Charlemagne had to book
the
flights.
That's a lie. I never had you on Southwest in my life. Don't tell that lie. That's a lie.
Yes, you did.
I don't know why you want to tell that lie. I don't know why you even feel like telling that lie. That's
you
a
sure
lie.
Did. 800-585-1051. Have you ever got kicked off a flight before? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on.
Call me.
Send your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
That was Drake with Fake Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're asking, have you ever got kicked off a flight? Now, this comes from Charlamagne giving United Donkey of the Day.
Yeah.
They kicked this gentleman off, really, for no reason.
For no reason. And this dude, well, it was because of overbooking, and he didn't want to voluntarily leave, so they had him forcibly removed. But a young lady on Twitter said to me, hey, see the God on my way to work. Her name is at Voodoo Doll. She said, you just said, and I quote, nobody's pulling me off a plane. You sure about that, pumpkin? I'm absolutely sure of that. You're not pulling me off the plane. I'm going
to
leave. Right?
You know who you're talking to.
Who?
Voodoo Doll. She's pulling you off the plane.
But I'm going to leave. And the reason I'm going to leave, because I saw the video of what they did to this Asian man. So either we going to fight, or I'm just going to walk off the plane.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
Hey, I know you don't want to say your name. Now you.
Oh, no, my name is Michelle. Good morning.
Oh, okay,
hey, Michelle.
Now, you work for United.
So here's my story with United. I've been a Star Alliance member for years, and I haven't had to be removed from a plane, but unfortunately, I am that frequent flyer who shows up, and someone else has to be removed because I've actually shown up. But what I saw yesterday is so appalling. Shout out to you guys for giving them Donkey of the Day. The entire crew of Flight 3411 and the Department of Transportation, Chicago O'Hare's entire, what do they call them? You know, the
law enforcement.
The law enforcement, exactly, that they have on right. All of them deserve it because no one should be treated that way. And you can't help but to bring race into the equation. Would they have treated someone who was a lot larger? Would they have treated a female this way? The fact that they, the over-excess of force. So, Charlamagne, I couldn't agree with you more. Where's the Pepsi ad? Both United, Pepsi, two others, you know. And they actually carry Coke products, but they might as well start carrying United Pepsi products on those flights.
Hold on, let me ask you one question, baby. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Since you have the preferred membership or whatever, would you even want the seat after seeing how they...
No.
Okay.
No, you know what? I would love to find an airline who I can, like, you know, transfer my mileage and you know, I have always had to fly to the West Coast, specifically San Francisco, and they are a hub for United. But after what they've gone through, what they did this weekend... No, absolutely not. I'm looking for shopping around for a new carrier. And the other thing regarding there, I can't remember the rule right now, but from an operational issue, they could have put either the passengers or their own crew on another carrier to get them out to Louisville.
Absolutely.
And, need be, you use a smaller plane and you charter your flight for your crew to get where you need to get to. But that is an operational issue from their central control.
Absolutely. So, thank you, Michelle.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. Hey.
Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name?
Yo, my name's Tone Nice, man. Queen, stand up.
Tone, how big are you, Tone?
You sound like you got that same energy at all times.
I got the same energy all day, my nigga. All day.
Tone, well, how much do you weigh, Tone?
Yo, listen, just know I'm a fat nigga, you feel what I'm saying? Maybe 300-400 pounds, something like that.
The type of person we would hate to sit by on a plane, and they could never forcibly remove you because you're too big.
Nah, listen, I ain't that big. I don't look that big in person.
Do you fly? What class do you fly, cargo?
Stop, man. You got kicked off a flight because of what?
Yo, listen, I'm in Jamaica. I'm coming back to Queens. Jamaica, yo, y'all know Jamaican people rude, yo. The lady come up to me, yo, listen... because everybody else comes to Billy, we might not fit you on the plane. I'm like, yo, I just flew in. I just got here. They're like, nah, you ain't good. So the lady said, we might have to get you a new ticket, but you got to pay $200. Yeah, listen, I missed my flight 3 times because they ain't want to let me on.
No. You missed your flight 3 times because you're 300 pounds.
Damn,
let's call it what it is.
Yo, okay. Charlamagne, forget you, man.
You missed your flight 3 times because you needed 3 seats. All right? Let's be clear about
now,
this.
Now, I have seen that. I have seen them get big people and tell them to go on the other side of the plane before. You never seen that before?
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all know I have no remorse for this one whatsoever. I'm down with everybody. But if you're fat and you're on the plane, either buy 3 seats or stop complaining. Well,
they,
all right?
They get 3 seatbelts. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Nick down in Houston. How you guys?
All right, Nick. Now tell us, you said we're looking at this all wrong.
Yeah. I kind of feel like, so I work for a competitor airline, and while I would love to say this is all United's fault, a part of me feels like it's not. Because, I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't United Police that came on the plane and removed this guy, right? So, like, if you think about it this way, somebody walks into the Breakfast Club, you guys ask him to leave, he doesn't leave. You call the police. The police come in there, rip him out of there. The guy has a heart attack on the way out. His family tries to sue the Breakfast Club, right? Is it y'all's fault that the man died when the police came and got him out?
By the way, let's talk about all the people who have been forcibly removed from the Breakfast Club, because there's been some few.
There's been a couple people
come in the building. People that get forcibly removed from here deserve to get forcibly removed from here, because they're probably trying to assault me.
Right.
All right?
Okay, yeah.
And we throw them out first, and then the police come.
Yes, these are people that are actually doing something wrong, so that's a terrible example. This guy wasn't doing anything wrong. He was a paid customer.
No. Think about it, though. If somebody comes into the Breakfast Club and they're trying to hurt you, they breaking the Breakfast Club policy. The fact of the matter is that you really are agreeing to being able to be removed if asked to make room for employees, for airline employees. It's part of the policy.
He shouldn't be forcibly removed, though, my brother. Like, there's no reason to be forcibly removed.
I understand that, but it wasn't United that forcibly removed the guy, is my point.
He said
that's
it was the police. He said they.
Oh, no, he's right. They set the protocol. You're right with that, but
it's the police.
But it's still bad PR for United, though.
It's definitely bad PR for United. Thank you for calling, bro.
You're right, but it's bad PR for United.
It's horrible PR for United. All right. Well, what's the moral of the story?
Well, the moral of the story is I heard a great quote one time by a guy named Steve Dorfman. He said, the customer is not always right, but your job is never to show them how they're wrong. Your job is to be professional, courteous, accommodating, and to demonstrate emotional maturity, even and especially under stress. I saw United, the law enforcement, not be professional, not be courteous, not be accommodating. They definitely didn't demonstrate any emotional maturity, and that was a stressful situation, and they failed miserably.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, you got a positive note?
The positive note is simply this. Getting your stuff together requires a level of honesty you can't even imagine. There's nothing easier about realizing you're the one that's been holding you back this whole time.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.